Len, good morning, good
That's
morning,
the state
good morning.
Senate Republican
know,
leader Len
he
Fasano.
He's Len, in a... I apologize. I don't mean to call you just Len, Senator.
That's fine. We've known each other a long time.
You know something?
That's fine with me.
We have. I was trying to figure out the other day, you know, Dan and I both, but you and I have, God, we go back years.
Yes, we do. Good relationship.
This is the head of the Republican Party, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Over
Senate,
on
the Republican
over on the Hill on the,
yeah.
and in the Senate, and boy, I'll tell you, it's wild over there now.
It is definitely wild over here. It really is. You know, I told you guys a week ago.
You called it.
That
you called it.
I said there would not be a vote on the 18th.
Yep, you were right.
And you know, and that held true. Unfortunately. I do not understand, you know, I am so frustrated, beyond belief, but let's go through a few things. Number one, 11 o'clock today, I am told that it will be announced by the unions that the union contract is either passed or not passed by its members. Now, one, some insight that I have found out would tell me that that contract is going to be approved.
Oh.
So let's go on the assumption that the contract is approved. So now the question is, well, what's the next step? Well, the next step has been that the Speaker and and certainly my counterpart in the Senate have agreed to have a vote. Because contracts, union contracts that get approved must or we'll go through the legislature. If they sit on the calendar for 30 days, if they're not voted on, they're deemed approved. That's been the practice by the majority Democrat for years. And this year, they promised us for a vote. So now we're supposed to have a vote. If we're supposed to have a vote, there's no reason why that vote cannot take place on July 24th, which is a day that we're all going in. It's called veto session day.
Right.
It is a day that we go in and vote on all the bills, if we want to, that the governor's vetoed, to determine if we're going to override it. So that day is set in stone, and we're ready to go forward on that day for vetoes. I haven't talked to Senator Looney as to which ones he would like to override, and I haven't communicated with him which ones we would like to override. But nevertheless, that day is set in everybody's calendar. That is a day we could vote on the union contracts, and we should. Now, what I predict is going to happen is the Speaker of the House and Senator Looney is going to say, no. We're going to vote on union contracts when we have a budget. So the question I pose is this. Aren't we supposed to be voting on the union contracts to determine whether or not that deal is good for the state or bad for the state, whether those are structural changes that help us or structural changes that don't help us? That's the vote that's in front of the House and the Senate with respect to this contract, the quality of the agreement that's been put forth. What the Democrats want to do is say, well, no, we want to put it in our budget and then architect our budget around the union deal and then go in and say, look, we got a budget that includes a union deal. Now you can't vote no against the union deal because we fit it in so nicely with our budget. And if you say no to the union deal, you screwed our budget and we're not going to have a budget. That's the play they're going to make. And that to me is fundamentally an error. The deal isn't whether or not this budget fits in nice with the union deal. The question before us is whether or not the union deal is good or bad. That's a sole question. Has nothing to do with the budget. And therefore, there is no reason, whether or not they have a budget, which I don't think they're going to have by July 24th, I really don't believe that's going to happen. Again, I'll make that prediction that we don't have a vote on the budget on July 24th. But we can have a vote, and there's no reason why we can't have a vote on the union deal on the 24th. And I would argue you need to get that issue out of the way to know where you stand. Because if the majority of the legislators vote against the union deal, if that were to happen, they were not going to get approved, then anybody who's done a budget that includes a union deal is out of luck because it's been rejected by the legislature. So the game that they're going to play is we're not going to vote on the union deal. We're going to vote on it the same time that we do our budgets. So wait till we finish our budgets. And that's fundamentally wrong. And so I'm going to see what they're going to say. I'm going to challenge them today, if in fact it gets approved, as I think it would by the unions, and ask them point blank, when are we going to vote on the union deal? Let's do it on the 24th. We're there. It's in everybody's calendar. Everybody should have marked it off. Let's go forward.
Senator, what's to stop? And we're talking with Senator Len Fasano, Senate Republican President, and our Touch Points Rehab interview chair. What's to stop the majority party, particularly in the House, of waiting beyond 30 calendar days and then voting on a budget, and then that union concessions deal, if it's approved, has to be part of the budget?
Okay, so the 30 days does not run during special session. That's what we're in now. So to run out the clock on the 30 days, the clock would begin to run February, whatever day we go in.
Okay, so that's a different thing then.
That's different, right?
Sorry?
It's different.
So in other words, you're in special session, so the 30-day clock is not running right now, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Now, conceivably, which would be, I think, very disrespectful to the people of the state of Connecticut, conceivably, they could vote on a budget that includes the savings from the union deal and argue we're not approving the union deal. We're voting on a budget. We're only approving the savings we think any union deal that gets ratified should have. We're not voting on the union deal, but we're going to use the savings from that union deal to architect our budget and then vote on a budget and then not vote on the union deal at all. Wait till February and March for that 30-day clock to run out. But if you do that, I think you're going to see an insurrection in this state that's going to be remarkable, to think that they've promised a vote, they've taken it back, and now they're waiting till February and March. I just hope the people of the state say that is just baloney, and we're not putting up with that stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a conceivable methodology, but I can't even envision them going that direction. Yeah.
You know, Senator, I think one of the things, and you know, we get it on the chops, Dan does, I do, as far as the unions go. You know, I don't have anything against unions. However, what I can't understand, and the governor went on and on and on, he thinks this is a tremendous deal that we have, but why do we have to worry about 5 years from now? Why does it have to always say, you know, that the deal is that kind of a deal? Why can't it just be, look, this is what we're getting, and then we're going to do it again? Why can't we do it that way?
I don't know. First of all, I'm not against unions either. And let me be clear on this. Our argument has been that the benefits that state employees got, they deserve, to the extent that they've been bargained for in years past, and they did a great job, and those were different times. But we're in different times. The whole country is in different times. Every state is facing the same crisis. And the question is, we have to look at certain benefit packages. And these benefit packages should be more in line with what police get, or firemen get, or teachers get. And that's why I never understood the local unions have deductibles on their insurance. The local unions have high co-pays on their medical insurance. The local unions don't get health care for the rest of their lives. And the local electrical or plumbers, et cetera, you know, they all can't find work because there's not enough money in the state to do development, whether it's a town or private folks. It's very difficult finding work because building has been stymied in the state because our economy is so poor and because we have deficit after deficit. So all we're saying to the state employee folks is that, look, just be more in line with the reality that everyone else is having in life. If you add $5, which won't kill anybody, to all the copays for state employees, including myself, you would save $150 million to the state of Connecticut.
Wow.
$5.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay, let's get back to our special guest, Senate Republican President Len Fasano. Senator, great to have you here. But this whole thing about the delay, this is what people don't understand.
Well, I think the big question, and we need to ask the senator this, is this budget impasse the result of the Democrats trying to live up to its unwritten support for the unions, and so they have to come up with a budget that somehow enables this deal, and that could include tax hikes?
You know, I don't know if that's necessarily the case in this particular one, and I want to be fair. I think there's two factors that are playing in this. One, they used to have such great numbers in the House and the Senate that they could put out a budget, maybe cut a couple people loose to vote no, and just roll over us as Republicans and push their budget through. They used to be able to do that. And now they can't do that anymore. So whatever budget they put out for the first time in, who knows what, 25 years, they're going to have to justify whatever they do. Apparently, they've woken up to the fact that there are consequences to their actions by virtue of the votes that took place in 2016, where we picked up a number of seats in the House and a number of seats in the Senate. So they realize now that they can't just say, we're going to do this budget because we think it's a great budget. You know, if you remember 2 years ago, members of the Senate stood up and said, this is a historic budget. It's the best budget we've ever seen. Just these glowing accolades about this budget. And then 3 months later, they changed the budget. So they recognize that there are actual consequences in their districts, particularly those which can flip, that requires more thought. So I think they're a little stymied because they never really had to do this hard work before, because it didn't really matter because they were able to push things through. So I think that's a good thing for the state of Connecticut. I think they reject what the House and the Senate did on the union, you know, saying reject the deal and after 2022, let's get things back in order. I don't know that so much as a got to protect the unions as much as it may be, hey, we're one party, the governor negotiated, we got to help the governor out as well. I mean, it's one of the same, maybe, but I think as a group, they need to stick together as a party. The leader of the party, being Governor Malloy, no matter what his poll numbers are, he's still viewed as that, has made this deal and they want to protect. That all being said, I'm sure there is a certain element in the Senate and in the House on the Democratic side who do want to protect the deal the unions also agreed to because they're highly supported by that group. But I really think that the stall and the delay is much ado about consequences from the 2016 election, recognizing those consequences and moving extraordinarily cautiously as they go forward.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is
really crazy.
Incredible. Now, you have not been able, and I know you talked about this yesterday with the media, you still have not been able to get this union deal from the governor. Is that correct?
Correct.
Why? Why?
You know, their answer to, as I saw in the press, their answer was, we've met with Len Fasano a couple times, and we're meeting with him today. And that's right, they are meeting with me today. And we have met a few times, not about the union deal or not about the contracts. We've met over, hey, look, if you've got some issues with my budget, let's talk about it and see if we can fix those issues. We never talked about contracts. That's a little disingenuous. What happened was we sent them a letter. They said, we can't give you the contracts. We wrote back and said, could you please cite the statutory authority or the federal regulations that says you can't give it to us if, in fact, we can't have it because of law? I accept that as a answer, and it was radio silence. So we sent another letter, and then finally wrote to their lawyer, the governor's lawyer, and said, look, you know, please tell us, this was last Thursday, please cite the authority why we can't get these contracts. We heard nothing. So yesterday did a press release to say, you know, I can't get them. In fact, I even, one of the Capitol Press people I talked to, that person was going, did call OPM and ask for the contracts after telling me I can't have them because of some rule that they never identified. When the press person called up, they said, yeah, we'll get them to you. Never said that person couldn't have them. and said, but it's going to take us a while to get them together. As of today, that person, that press person doesn't have the contract.
Of course not.
You know, in our day and age, you hit send on email and you get them. I mean, they're all together in one file sitting in OPM's office. So there's a deliberate attempt not to give it to us. Now, I guarantee you, after the vote is announced at 11 o'clock today, they'll magically appear in my office. I am sure of that.
Right.
You know, they just didn't want me to have them before, so I couldn't go on
this
shows like yours and expose it. And I'd love to come back to talk about what I think I see in the union contracts that are going to cost the state money. From what I've read so far, this is in the CBAC agreement, and changes in the CBAC agreement that are, in my view, giving more liberties to, well, I would say it this way, that will cost the state significant funds in the future. And that's the reason why I have a problem with these contracts. I'd love to come back on your show.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely. But in a nutshell, you're predicting that this contract will not come up for a vote in the veto session on the 24th of July, and the Democrats will attempt to fold it into the overall budget.
And when they do that, they'll vote on the union contract. When they vote, I believe they may vote on the union contract when they fold it in the budget. The argument would be this. Okay, you guys are all upset over the governor's executive orders. We have a budget. Here's the union contract. And by the way, if you reject the union contract, then we can't do our budget, and the governor continues on with his executive orders. And we think that people are being hurt by that. So now you have to accept the union contract. And the problem with that is, why not put the Republican vote budget up and say, okay, this doesn't take into the union contract. Let's vote on that. We could vote on that today. They're very afraid of the Republican budget. Very afraid. Because they know there's a certain appetite out there on the Democratic side for a budget. And in the Senate, I just need one vote.
Yep.
That's all I need.
Wow. Senator, thank you so much. And you will come back with us then, huh?
Yes, I will.
Great.
Oh, that is tremendous. I can't wait for that time.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you, guys.